2 Samuel 19. How many of you think loyalty is a good thing? No, we hear the phrase, or used to, "What have you done for me lately?" But, you know, as we go through life, there are going to be challenges with people that we love, right? We love them. They're part of our circle. But something's going to happen, and it's going to fracture that relationship and challenge that relationship. And at those moments, we have to look into our hearts and say, is this somebody I'm going to have to separate from? And sometimes that is the case. Or is this someone that, though I need a little bit of distance, that I'm not going to cut completely off because I appreciate what they mean to me and who they've been to me? And we have those relationships, don't we? We don't agree with everybody all the time, do we? And so we're going to have those challenges, and we have to make those decisions. Well, we come to that here in 2 Samuel, and we kind of reach back to tell the story. There was, of course, King David, and he had children, different wives, half-brothers and half-sisters. One of those sons had a desire toward one of those daughters. It was a sickening lust that he had. So much that he arranged for a private meeting by pretending that he was sick and asking her to come take care of him. And in that moment, he attacked her, took advantage of her, and then after he had fulfilled the passion of his lust, the Bible says, he hated her more than he ever loved her. And that's what lust will do. Lust is a monster. Well, of course, the rest of the family was quite upset about what Amnon had done. Absalom wasn't just upset. Absalom sought to avenge his sister's abuser. He boiled in his rage for 2 years. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but just think about it, have boiled in your rage for 2 years and sulked in it and just tried to find an opportunity to settle the score? Now, people will say, I don't forgive so-and-so, and I'll say, well, explain that you don't forgive them. Well, I just can't get over it. Here's my question. Are you trying to get even? Are you pursuing consequences? Are you trying to settle the score? And if the answer is no, you're not far from forgiveness. In fact, you may have forgiven them. To not forgive someone is to seek revenge. If you're not seeking revenge, then you have forgiven. You may not be healed from it yet, but you have forgiven. And Absalom did not forgive. He stewed for 2 years. And finally, he found a way, again, by orchestrating the right people to be around, he found a way to orchestrate the hit, attack, murder of his brother, Amnon. Well, King David, of course, his heart is broken over the attack on his daughter. His heart is broken that his own son would have done such an evil thing. And now his heart is broken that his other son has killed one of his own. We think of King David as being a great king and wise. Of course, not as wise as Solomon, but wise. And yet his heart is haunted. His family is haunted by his past. And so, you don't want me to start the whole story over, do you? Okay. And so Absalom, having done what he had done to his family, fled. He left town. He's gone for 3 years. It doesn't sound like a long time as we say 3 years, does it? 3 years doesn't seem like much. But when you're in the midst of those 3 years, it seems like forever. And David longs for his son Absalom to come home. Joab, his captain, finally says, David, you're the king. Send for him. You're the dad. Send for him. It's okay that you love your son, even though he's done wrong. He sends word and says, tell him to come home, but tell him not to come here. I'm really not ready to talk to him yet. Absalom comes home, comes back to Jerusalem. And so it seems like things are good again, right? Well, see, Absalom kind of had some resentment toward his father for all that had gone down. He begins a whispering campaign, getting people to bow to him and kiss his hand and to look up to him. And he was a slick politician is what he was. Finally, he arranges for them to shout out that he is the king. Word gets back to David. And David says, well, I guess we better go. I'm not going to stay here and fight my own son. And he left. Well, not only did he leave, but Absalom goes to his counselors and he says, what do I need to do? One of them said, you need to pursue after him. You're the king now. Be the king. Rid yourself of the former king. He comes to another counselor and says, what should I do? That counselor says, let it lay. Let it be. He's gone. Let it be. Well, which advice do you think he took? He pursues after his father. We back up just a step and note a couple of things. When David became king, of course, he replaces King Saul. Saul's family had all been killed but one, who while being carried out of the house of Saul, the woman who was carrying him fell on him, and he was paralyzed. David, as king, sought to honor King Saul, whom he loved. They had their challenges, we could say. But he loved Saul like a dad. Respected him. And he said, find someone of the family of Saul, and I want to take care of him. And they found Mephibosheth. Again, couldn't walk. Legs were crawled up. And he brings Mephibosheth home, and he says, you eat at my table from now on. As David is leaving Jerusalem, he's met by one of Mephibosheth's servants. He's got lots of goods to give to the king and says, here, king, for your trip. And King David says, well, where's Mephibosheth? Well, you know, Mephibosheth figures that since you're gone and he's the only son of Saul that's left, that now he's the king. David continues on his journey out. He comes to a place where there's a fellow named Shimei. Y'all remember him? Shimei is of the family of Saul. He's cursing David, calling him a dog, throwing rocks and dust and kicking up. I mean, just kept following, telling him how wretched he was. Well, it was even encouraged to David to kill him. David says, the truth is, I probably deserve everything he's saying. He was humbled, wasn't he? He was broken. How do you get over that? How do you face all that has occurred just in this storyline? David goes on and settles in. His son, Absalom, continues to pursue after. But see, Absalom had beautiful flowing hair. What was that guy's name? Fabio, is that his name? Is that his name, Fabio? Long. He was in the shampoo commercials. Well, he was riding up under a tree, and guess what happened? That hair got caught in the tree and left him dangling from that limb. It was told to Joab that Absalom is hanging from a tree by his hair. Joab said, kill him. The servant said, I heard King David say, deal easily with the young man. I heard the king say not to hurt him. Joab said, then I'll do it myself. Joab and 10 of his men surrounded Absalom and killed him. Word reached the king that Absalom was dead. Now 2 of his sons are dead, really out of the same event. 5 years, he's lost 2 sons that began with sin and greed and lust, culminated in murder. And David is broken. And there are people around us who are broken like David. Betrayed by their children. And like David, they look at themselves and blame themselves. But understand something. As much as we are responsible to raise our children well, when they become adults, they have to take responsibility for themselves. We cannot right their wrongs. And what would we have done differently? Isn't that what God said to David? David, what did you want me to do differently? If you'd have asked for anything else, I'd have given it to you. But, I mean, God didn't take responsibility for David's sin, and David can't take responsibility for his kid's sin, and we can't take responsibility for our kid's sin. But David is broken. He's humbled. He's humiliated. In chapter 19, y'all didn't think we'd ever get here, did you? By the way, that story really begins in chapter 15 and even before that. In verse 9, the Bible says the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us out of the hand of our enemies. He delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, they look and they say, we did this. We created this. We anointed him king, but now he's dead. And so let's look back at what our options are. David was a good king. David was the deliverer. He was our champion. At the end of verse 10, they say, now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? Man, what are we waiting for? Why are we out here struggling? Why are we here with no leader? Let's go get him and bring him back. Nobody's brought it up. I mean, he's out there. He's available. Let's go get him. Verse 11, King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house, David is hearing what's happening. He's hearing they want him back. And so he sends a message to the priest and says, why aren't y'all leading this? Aren't you the ones that should be leading this? By the way, these are friends of King David. He said, y'all should have been out in front of this. But it's gotten back to me that they want me back, but y'all haven't made the decision yet. Verse 12. Ye are my brethren, ye are in my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are you the last to bring back the king? He asked his messengers to say to Amasa, are thou not of my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if thou be not the captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. Hold on a second. Joab was his captain. But Joab killed his son. You see what I'm talking about with loyalty? Looking back at what they've done for you. You know, hey, you say, he killed his son. How do you get over that? By the way, he does. He does. But there will be challenges, fissures, fractures in relationships along the way. But let's not forget the times when we were close and when we loved each other and we counted on each other and we helped each other. Let's not just throw away our friendships. our relationships over hard times. You know, it's, you look at the divorce rate. Saw a note, a friend of mine, one you probably recognize, got a divorce this week, finalized. But there was a time when they loved each other, and one of them pursued the other, and they might have pursued each other. We those times were precious, and they filled our hearts, and we overflowed with love and with appreciation, and something happened. We got to go back to those times and remember those times and bring up, hey, don't you remember? Just revisit what started it. But we do the same with lots of people. Friendships are disposable now. Everything else is. Verse 14, he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man. So they sent word to the king, return thou and all thy servants. Come back. They didn't have to send a second messenger, did they? So the king returned, verse 15, and came to Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And so look at the picture and imagine it. Here's King David and his entourage, all of his people who left with him. He only left behind. He took all of his people except 10 concubines. And he said, y'all take care of the place. We'll be, you know, we should be back. He took everybody else with him. There were some who came to him and said, King, we want to go with you. He said, look, y'all stay here. Take care of business. I'll go. It'll all settle out somehow. He's on his way back. All these people, they're at the Jordan River. Gilgal, remember that first city that they came to. And so they're looking across Jordan. Here, they've all come out. All of Judah has come out to meet him. And he sees somebody in that crowd. Y'all read the verse, didn't you? You saw the name in the next verse. There's Shimei. His hands are clean. He doesn't have rocks or dust. His words are clean. He's not cussing anymore. He doesn't have hateful things to say anymore. Verse 16, the son of Gera, Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, he hastened and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. There were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king, and they went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. So they ferried him across the Jordan River. I mean, they are, come back now. We welcome you back. And Shimei, we're still in verse 18, son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. He said to the king, let not my lord impute iniquity to me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. Now remember, as they walked, it was said to King David, let me go take that man's head off. And the king said, no. You see, we talked Sunday morning about our imagination, and you know, our imagination can run off with us. But David didn't react. He said, let it be. And now he's coming back, and there's Shimei, not throwing rocks, but face in the dust, saying, my lord the king, welcome home. And I'm sorry about what I said. Sorry about what I said. Verse 20, thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I'm come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. Abishai, verse 21, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? He still wants to take his head off, doesn't he? Stewing in his anger, resentment, bitterness, boiling over with rage. Verse 23, the king said to Shimei, thou shalt not die. David has learned not to react to every emotion, not to engage every debate and argument he was invited to. Sometimes you just keep walking and it'll work out. And it has. But he's not home yet. He's still on his way home, and in verse number 24, somebody came down to meet the king. Who was it? Mephibosheth. Hey, king, how you doing? Look at what it says. He had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed to the day he came again in peace. And David asked him a question. Mephibosheth, why didn't you go with me? Now remember, Mephibosheth's own servant said, well, Mephibosheth figures that since he's Saul's son and you're gone, now he's the king, right? And so David's interested to hear his answer. Mephibosheth says, I was ready to go, but I couldn't get on the animal by myself. I told him to go get my mule and nobody brought him. I was ready to go. Now, do we know which is true? Here's what I'm inclined to believe. I'm inclined to believe that the servant lied about Mephibosheth. Why? Because Mephibosheth mourned the loss of David. He didn't shave, didn't wash, didn't... He mourned that entire time. Think about this. David had taken Mephibosheth in when he was exiled. Good as dead. No way to make a living for himself. Living off charity. And David said, you'll sit at my table from every night from here on out the rest of your life. I will take care of you the rest of your life as a token of my love for Jonathan and Saul. Guys, we cannot believe everything we hear about people. There's more to the story, isn't there? David, probably for that time he was gone, thought, I can't believe Mephibosheth betrayed me that way. But on his way back, there's Mephibosheth. Ragged and rugged and disheveled because he missed the king. And he says, I'm glad you're home. He said, now I heard that I was slandered. I heard you. People lied about me. But I didn't say what they said I said. David said, let's not talk about it anymore. We're done. Don't want to hear it again. You know why? Because the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He heard it from one guy. And how could he know it was true when the other side said, I didn't say that? We got a lot of challenges in life. The best thing we can do is be gracious, be kind, be forgiving, and let things go. David let it go and saying it was in the past. You see, David was loyal to his sons and merciful to his enemies. He gave grace, and he had earned the loyalty of Israel. Now, they betrayed him, right? No doubt about it. Absalom never could have risen to power if the people hadn't put him there. And David could have stayed where he was. By the way, he was doing all right. He was doing okay where he was. He didn't need to go home. They said, King, we want you back. We did wrong by moving you out. But we want you back. David was able to then resume, be restored to the throne. We all have troubles. I think of King David. We think of King David. What do we think about? Five little stones he took, right? We think about the victories, the champion. We think about him being anointed king three times. We see David as he flees from Saul, but ultimately he takes the throne. We might think about the time that he betrayed Bathsheba. But the truth is, in all of David's trouble, he was like everybody else. He experienced grief and he extended mercy. As God's people, we've got to love people and forgive people and give people the benefit of the doubt when we can. When we can. Would you stand? God, we thank you for the time we spend in your word tonight and pray that it will make us better people. So much is going on around us and it's so easy to pass quick judgment on those who are accused. God, would you give us grace in our hearts and discernment, God, that we'll see the truth. We don't want to embrace those who thumb their nose at you and defy your way. But God, we do want to love those who have just been caught up in slander and accusation. So give us grace. Help us to be forgiving. Help us not to be quick to learn from David, not to attack Shimei and things come back around, not to judge Mephibosheth because it might not be as we've heard. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.